The Chilkat Valley Historical Society gets assistance from the USDA to implement a new community orchard project. And remote villages make tough decisions about when to allow outsiders into their communities during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories are up next. The Chilkat Valley Historical Society received a 2-year grant from the United States Department of Food and Agriculture to begin an orchard project this fall. KHNS's Claire Strempel reports.
The Chilkat Valley Historical Society received a 2-year grant from the United States Department of Food and Agriculture to begin an orchard project this fall. If you ask Chilkat Valley Historical Society President Susan Chasen, the Chilkat Valley Orchard Project started with apples. 100-year-old apples, grown here in Haines, that is.
Sometimes history seems stuffy. So what's the relevance of the past to the present?
Fruit cultivation in Haines isn't a new idea. Charles Anway came to town in the early 1900s and grew dozens of apple and sweet cherry trees. But Chasen said it's an idea that hasn't been pursued in earnest for quite some time.
And I guess the word is no Haines-grown apples or sweet cherries have been marketed in over 60 years. But we think that our warming climate makes the conditions, you know, better for tree fruit cultivation than ever before.
The Historical Society launched the Relevance of History campaign. That blossomed into an attempt to bolster food security, tap economic potential in the valley, and close to $30,000 in federal grant money.
And it is called a specialty crop block grant. And specialty crops include things like tree fruits.
Chasen worked with Burl Sheldon to craft a grant proposal to the USDA, which will be managed by the state's Department of Natural Resources. The Chilkat Valley Historical Society will work in partnership with the Chilkat Valley Bald Eagle Foundation, with help from the Henderson Farm Committee and the University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension Service. The purpose of the grant is to expand community orchard knowledge. The award will fund a 2-year educational program that begins late this year and runs through 2022. Chasen plans to leverage local knowledge and bring in experts for a conference. After that, she'd like to work to identify property that could be used for cultivation and form a fruit cultivation group. The project has local support.
We got letters from landowners. We got letters from Klukwan. We got letters from HEDC. We got letters from local farmers. So I think our packet was really good.
There's robust community interest in local agriculture as an economic development opportunity. More than 90% of the Haines community supported agricultural development in the Haines Comprehensive Plan. It was a first priority. And growers are already flourishing here. Several small farms grow locally to sell at the summer farmers market, and the Haines School District partners with a local conservation group to compost food waste for their garden. But for the Chilkat Valley Historical Society, this new project is a way to bring the past into the present and grow something that lasts into the future. Reporting in Haines, I'm Claire Strempel.
As small villages in Alaska close to outsiders to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus, there have been tough decisions about when exceptions can be made. 2 weeks ago, a coyote wandered into the remote western village of Quinnahawk and got into a fight with a dog. Residents shot the coyote, sent it in for testing, and it turned out the animal had rabies. Then the village had a choice, balancing the risk of rabies with the risk of inviting a veterinarian into the community during the COVID-19 pandemic. We learn more in this story from KYUK's Greg Kim.
That morning, Jonathan Alexi had woken up early and he just put on a pot of coffee.
Just when I sat down, my dog started this really loud barking and growling and like he's fighting or something.
Alexi ran outside to find his German Shepherd in a battle with a coyote. He turned back inside to grab his shotgun.
Next thing you know, the coyote is across the road, limping away.
Alexi says his dog walked away from the skirmish unscathed. The coyote retreated into Alexi's neighbor's yard, where Mike Smith had just walked out to investigate why all the dogs in the neighborhood had gone crazy.
My grandpa's dogs were barking in my direction, and when I looked at our neighbor's dogs, they were barking in my direction.
When Smith turned around, he saw the animal. At that moment, his aunt walked out of her house, and Smith hollered at her to toss him a gun. He caught the rifle and unloaded a round at the coyote, but he missed.
The coyote was still walking toward me, and all I had was that empty gun.
Smith sprinted into his grandpa's house to grab another gun, and he didn't miss a second time. Tribal Police Chief John Peter says this isn't the first coyote they've seen in Quinnahock this year.
This year there has been wolves and coyotes really close to the village. That's not normal.
He says people think the animals wander into the village because they're hungry.
Hardly any caribou.
Peter's observations are confirmed by data. Over the past 3 years, the Mulchotna caribou population has fallen by half, according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Quinnahock residents say that's causing predators to come into town, creating dangerous situations. In this case, even more dangerous, because the coyote turned out to be rabid. Last week, the community invited veterinarian Lori Maythaler-Mullins to come in. Over the course of a few days, she vaccinated the dog that fought the coyote and all the other dogs in Quinnahock she could find.
We know that there's rabies in the wildlife here, so we want every dog protected.
While she's been vaccinating dogs against rabies, Maythaler-Mullins has been wearing a mask at all times and maintaining social distance. She knows it wasn't an easy decision to invite someone from out of town. Like many villages, Quinnahock has strict travel restrictions in place to protect the community from another disease, COVID-19. Every single person coming in or out of Quinnahock, even residents, have to get permission from Tribal Services Director Elizabeth Church.
Even residents and everybody.
Every single person, yep.
And Church says the vet was the first non-resident allowed into Quinnahock since the travel restrictions began. Only one person in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta has tested positive for COVID-19 so far. Church says that's evidence that the village travel restrictions are working. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also listen to the news anywhere you get your podcasts.